This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 74 of Sunday Supplement. I know.
So old now. We're going to be dead soon. Coming up to average life expectancy.
It's depressing, isn't it?
Not really.
I haven't even got a pension.
Well, you've been f***ed for the last, what, 10 years then?
I wish.
So, I got the news of the world
this
week.
Care.
What do you get?
I don't care. What? I got Rebecca Watson this week.
You can't keep bringing skeptics on to be, like, you know,
interesting and
paper.
Funny and better in your paper, yeah.
She's American, so she can't count, you know. I still win.
You might win the battle, but I think America won the war.
I don't think they did, actually. I think that's what they got in trouble for.
No, I'm pretty sure they won the
war. Well, I'm going to be an insurgent, and therefore America will never win the war, because I will keep killing myself.
So do you want to put your posh frock on? Get your nice shoes on.
What is this with me wearing dresses? I will not. I shan't. I won't.
We've got guests. You have to look
I'm
nice.
Not
do your hair nice.
You put a dress on.
I've
you
got
look
a
nice.
Dress on.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. When in Rome, dress like a pope.
We're joined now by Uber Skeptic and recently repatriated Rebecca Watson.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome home.
I don't know about that repatriated thing. How do you know I'm from Britland?
Because everybody in the world's from Britain, because we used to own it.
True.
No, I actually sprung full form from the brow of my father.
I don't get the reference of that. You're freakish. Is that like a Klingon thing?
I apologize. That was way over everybody's head.
We
that
literally
was
know
head.
Three things on this podcast and two of them are wrong.
Well, yeah, I won't even bother. It's not even worth going into then. Let's just skip it. Let's pretend it was never said.
What's this whole brow thing? I want to know about brow because I quite like eyebrows.
It's a Greek mythology thing. I think Artemis or someone sprung full form from the brow.
Just because
are
you're American,
saying you're a
don't
Greek
try
god?
And get...
Yes.
Wow. I was going to say something funny then, but Simon interrupted me. So now I'm sulking.
Why did you do that, Simon? Nobody wants a pouty Izzy.
Everybody wants a pouty Izzy. A pouty Izzy would sell out at Christmas. You could use a pouty Izzy for so many purposes. Mainly, you could use me to, you know, secure stamps onto envelopes for Christmas cards. You see, that's just one use.
No, because those are all stickers now. You don't need to lick those anymore.
I feel so useless.
You've been made redundant by glue. Small amounts of glue.
Fourth time this year. I've been usurped by a sticker.
So what is the laziest question you get asked as a skeptic?
Aside from that one.
The laziest question I get asked. I'd have to go with that one, actually. I get the same questions often, but I don't know that that makes them lazy. It's the how did you become a skeptic? How did you start skeptic?
Okay. So how did you become a skeptic and how did you start skeptic?
I fought a dragon for the right to skeptic, to the domain name.
You fought a dragon and then declared once you beat it that it didn't exist.
That's right, and it disappeared in a puff of logic.
Can I just say, get the Douglas Adam quotes
get the
in
Douglas
now.
Adam reference,
that's
definitely.
That's amazing.
Yes, you got that one.
Underline
okay.
That.
Yes.
That's one of the three things we know.
Greek mythology, no.
No.
Douglas Adam, yes. Okay, I'm making notes.
Also, if you ask us anything on the American Civil War, or even the one before that, where apparently you declared some sort of independence thing, we know nothing about that. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you give thanks?
I had a lovely Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was last Thursday. And Thanksgiving is, of course, the day that we Americans celebrate the eventual destruction of the native people of America. So it was very nice. I went out to dinner with a bunch of English people.
I can't imagine English people giving thanks. I can imagine them having a whinge giving.
Yeah, actually, now that I think of it, there wasn't really that much thanks happening. There was just a lot of criticism and a lot of feeling sorry for ourselves. And then I made up a few traditions because they didn't know any better. So we all shook elbows and things like that. So it was a fun Thanksgiving. Yeah, I approved.
Did you get a present?
No, you don't get presents on Thanksgiving.
What's the point of having a holiday if you don't get presents? parents.
The thing is that the Thanksgiving turkey is like the anti-Santa Claus. So, I mean, he basically comes by and meets out justice to those who aren't actually eating him.
You've confused turkey with Judge Dredd.
No, they're very similar. That's a good point. And in fact, the Judge Dredd mythos was developed primarily from the Thanksgiving turkey tradition in America.
I'm sensing some of this isn't true. Izzy has a question.
Yes.
What is a yam?
A yam.
I know.
Is
it's a sweet potato?
No. Oh. No, a yam is it's a small orange monster that hides inside the Thanksgiving turkey. And all the little boys and girls who haven't been good that Thanksgiving, it bursts out of the turkey's stomach and consumes the children.
Do you know what's brilliant about that? John Hurt often looks like a turkey. So that's
true.
Great.
I can see now that actually if you've seen the movie Alien, but you're not familiar with ancient American myth, then you probably missed a lot of the subtext. That whole scene was meant to mimic the Thanksgiving pilgrims and Indians and then the Thanksgiving yam bursting out of the turkey's stomach and destroying everyone.
I always thought it was about how men were scared of women's bits.
The two ideas aren't mutually exclusive, actually.
So the film 2012 is about the Boston Tea Party.
In part, yes.
The best thing of that film, from a skeptical point of view, wasn't all the science, wasn't the prediction by the Mayans, wasn't any of that. It was an elephant being airlifted underneath a helicopter over the Himalayas in massive elephant underpants.
That was pretty amusing, but I disagree that that was the most interesting from a skeptical standpoint. I'll tell you what the most ridiculous thing, and I really enjoyed 2012. I thought it was fantastic, and I wrote a review of it on Skeptic. And in that review, I point out that the most unbelievable thing in 2012, and spoiler alert, slightly. The most unbelievable thing is that all these rich people are fleeing the destruction. You know, they all get to save themselves because they have enough money. And yet they cut to the Vatican, where one of the richest men on the planet, the Pope, is there praying to God for safety. And you'd better believe that if the Pope had the chance to buy his way into safety, then he would be, I believe I said, stepping on the heads of AIDS babies to do it. Because that dude is...
He steps on the heads of AIDS babies anyway.
Yeah.
As long as they're already born before he steps on their heads, it's not abortion, so it's fine.
Right, they only care about the unborn ones.
Hasn't he got a secret fortress in Norway, though? Is that where all the rich people are headed?
Does he have a secret fortress? I could believe that.
I was watching something about 2012. Oh, it's Balloon Boy's dad.
Oh, yeah.
He was going on about how there's a secret fortress in Norway that Bill Gates has built, that all the rich people are going to head to when the planet floods, and that there's a underground railway from Los Angeles to New York that travels at 14,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, that one's true, actually. That's true.
That's quite a big railway, though, because it's quite a long way. It's further than getting from here to Derby, I'd say.
Yeah, well, no, but it's actually a Thanksgiving tradition to take that train ride.
What I liked about the YouTube video with Balloon Boy's dad, he was talking to his co-host and they looked at him when he said 14,000 miles an hour like he was stupid. And they went, don't be so stupid. It's only 1,400 miles an hour.
Boron.
That's pretty really quick, funny. Though. I mean, that's faster than, like, you know, the S1 bus from Whitney to Oxford. And that goes quick late at night over the hills.
You phoned me from that shit scared.
Yes.
Because it was going so fast?
If you've ever seen Waiting for God, there is an old people's home on top of a hill, and it's very windy, and there's a little road that goes down beneath it, and it's got a 50 limit on it. It's like the Monaco Grand Prix circuit, only slightly faster and scarier, right? And this double-decker bus, late at night, pelts down that faster than something quick. And you, literally, you're there holding on, and this thing is sort of like on one wheel going round a corner, and it's quick.
I have a zany bus story. This is a story I really like telling at the bar, but I don't think I've ever actually told it on air before. So my now husband, Sid, was visiting me earlier this year, and we had to get from Boston to New York. And there's this well-known bus line called the Feng Hua, aka the Chinatown bus, because I guess it used to be used for transporting illegal immigrants back and forth from Boston to New York. And it's well known for crashing and burning. The thing is, it's really cheap, so lots of people take it. And eventually it became so popular, they would run a bus every hour. And then this past year, they added a whole new route, the 2 a.m. bus. So you get on the bus at 2 a.m. in Boston, and they take you down to New York. And it's usually about 4.5 hours or so. So Sid and I decide that we're going to take the 2 a.m. bus because we're insane. And so we get on the bus, and the driver gets on, and he's like this old fellow, maybe in his 60s, and sits down, turns out the lights, and we get going. And so Sid and I sort of kind of pass out, but it's sort of hard because it's a really uncomfortable bus, and the thing is just flying down the road. Like, we wake up several times airborne, you know, only to crash into the ground again a few seconds later. And eventually I look up and I see the lights of New York, and I'm thinking, that's odd. That was awful fast. It seems way too early to be in New York already. And we pull up to the side of the road in Chinatown. And I've taken the bus before. And I look around and I'm like, this isn't the place they normally drop you off. It is normally just a street corner. But I'm not really familiar where we are right now. So we just sit there, even though the bus has stopped. And the driver turns on all the lights. And he turns around. And the first thing we notice is that the driver is now in his 30s. So, and the only thing that we can figure is that there's some ancient Chinese secret to immortality that involves reaching such high speeds while you're traveling down the highway between Boston and New York that you actually travel back in time. So he stands up, suddenly de-aged by 20 or 30 years, and turns around and looks at us all, and he goes, hello, and then he gets off the bus. And leaves us all just kind of staring at each other. And before we have a time to really figure out what's happening, the bus door is filled with Chinese cab drivers yelling at us, like they're taunting us, like at the beginning of prison movies when some first gets there and they're all like hitting the bars. It's like that. It was terrifying. And so we ran.
If you went faster than the speed of light, which is what it sounds like, you would have gone back in time, surely.
Yeah, I think that that's scientifically accurate. Yes.
This is what I want them to do with the Hadron Collider, is put a kitten in it. So like, have like two kittens, right, same litter, put one in the Hadron Collider, spin it round for a couple of years or whatever, then the other cat would have grown up, but the kitten, because time is relative to the speed you're going at, it'll stay a kitten.
I don't think you really understand the true power of the Hadron Collider though, because what you would actually have to do is get two kittens, put them both in the Hadron Collider, and then collide them. And what happens is when the kittens meet, they explode and release guts, mostly. But also possibly a black hole.
If you put one kitten in the Hadron Collider, that's just cruel, because kittens shit in the corner and it would just be stuck in this round circle donut, not being able to poo.
How do you know that kittens shit in corners? Where's that come from? That's not ultimate kitten fact, is it? They shit in corners. What? Their eyes are blue when they're first born, and they're shut for a while, and then they open. If you look at baby cats, you know, that's a fact about a kitten, not that they shit in corners.
I think he's right.
But the thing is, Simon has a chart of animals, right? And it's divided into those which shit in corners and those which don't. Rabbits shit in corners.
Giraffes don't.
Where did you pass it?
And then there's like there's a little picture of Izzy on the graph too. I'm just wondering where it is. Do you shit in corners?
I have newspapers down.
So, did you find a really interesting, exciting, fun, and hilarious article in the Sunday papers, Rebecca?
I'd like to point out that you didn't tell me to look for any of those adjectives.
Okay. Did you find an article?
You just said, you told me, find an article.
Well, last time you were on, you were a bit perplexed as to what a Sunday supplement was. Have you now discovered what we mean now that you're here in Britain?
Well, I think it's the same.
So, which paper did you get?
The Daily Mail.
Oh God. I feel ill. Oh,
really?
I'm so sorry.
I don't know. I just, it's just something about it just called to me.
It's because you're a woman and you're nearing 30.
Right.
The target audience is women in their 30s who have just had babies and therefore are scared of anything and everyone that isn't them.
That's actually been proven by science, I think. Daily Mail science and evolutionary psychologists. The article I chose is called Hair Today. Vain X Factor judge Simon Cowell has the backs of his hands waxed.
Oh, God.
Wow. What about this old school made it stand out for you, Rebecca?
Well, I guess it was the idea that a legitimate newspaper would have an entire article about a man waxing his hand.
I was going to say, surely, once you've read the headline, there's nothing else. There's no other facts.
Oh, but there is.
Oh, okay.
There's so much more because they have pictures to prove it. And he's sticking his hand out. And I was thinking, they're right. He's like a monkey down to his wrist and then smooth as a baby's bottom.
It's got to hurt a lot, though. Is it the palm of his hands as well?
He might be a wanker, but he hasn't got hairy palms. You can't substantiate that with facts.
Any newspaper could just report on that fact and then just let it go. But the Daily Mail goes the extra mile because they provide photographic evidence. And then they even look to other examples. They say that he's not the first television star to feel self-conscious about his furry hands. And then they talk about Grover. No, they don't talk about it. Do you have Grover here?
Yeah.
What's Grover?
Grover off of Sesame Street.
Okay.
Grover's only the best furry little monster.
Second best.
Wait, who's the best furry little monster?
Elmo.
No.
Yes.
What are you, a two-year-old?
Grover Simon shits in the corner. Elmo doesn't. I'll check my chart. It's true.
That is untrue. Just in case, maybe some Sesame Street employee is listening to this. I would do anything to get a hug from Grover.
He's got quite wimpy arms. It wouldn't be a good hug.
I bet Grover gives the best hugs.
You want a hug from Cookie Monster, I think.
I think the ultimate hug would be like Big Bird. But no, because now he just reminds me of a velociraptor.
Oh, yeah. Terrifying.
Because they found that thing. It was on your podcast, but they found velociraptors with little round feathers, like black feathers. I just picture a black Big Bird with teeth and fangs coming at you.
That's because you're racist.
No, it's not because I'm racist. It's because that's the colour of the... They managed to detect the colour just from, like, the trace chemicals in the bedrock or something.
Richard Keys.
Do you know who he is?
Richard Keys is the other one with hairy hands.
I was going to suggest that he would be on the list. He's quite a hairy man.
He's well known for having hairy hands.
Yeah.
Are hairy hands not sexy, then? Is this a...
No.
Really?
Especially on women.
Really?
Izzy and I are going to go off to the spa now to have a treat. They say that Richard Keys had the hair on his hands removed after eagle-eyed fans nicknamed him Werewolf. He's gross. Like, in the picture, he's got, like, moobs. I'm not telling you anything now. He has moobs.
So my question really is, how are you finding the British papers compared to the American papers? Are they as bad as they have a reputation for?
Well, I think that you have the extremes nailed. So, like, when you take the average, I think that they're on about equal footing with American papers. But I think that the worst of your papers, say the Daily Mail, is worse than the worst of our papers, like the New York Post or whatever. But then the best journalism is better than the best of ours,
cool.
I think. So, like, I'm a big fan of Johann Hari, and I think he's brilliant. He, like, travels the world talking about people being oppressed and stuff. He's just fantastic. So I read his blog and read everything he writes, and you should too.
One really good paper to get if you want, like, news, and probably the only paper which, you know, is good for it, is actually, and it's a bit right-wing, the FT.
The Financial Times?
Yeah. It's got some good journalism in it.
I thought that was American.
No, it's a British thing.
Is it?
I think so. Also, The Economist is pretty good once a week, but that's right wing as well. But the thing is, you have to just, like, have
it. Wait, The Economist is American, isn't it? I'm pretty sure those are both American.
Anything that's good in America is British. Fact.
Yeah. Like Simon Cowell.
Craig Ferguson.
Is he good or bad? Sorry.
Craig Ferguson's excellent.
House,
yeah.
House. He's American. You've heard his
half
accent.
The cast of The Wire.
Yeah. The Shields.
Independence.
I'll just wait. Like Grant from EastEnders, I think. That counts.
What about David Beckham?
Oh, all right. Win the argument by saying David Beckham, why don't you?
That's just an easy thing to do, Rebecca.
Or Scary Pooh Lady, what's her name? Gillian McKeith.
Oh, my God, is she in America?
No, she's all yours. Now I'm just going to name, like, bad things.
Oh, I see. Just bad British things. We'll be here forever if you do that.
How about the years between 1590 and...
Talking of really bad British things, should we play Article or Farcical then?
Yay!
Yay!
Article or Farcical. Not Article or Farcical, Farcical. Well, I read out three articles, which are from my paper this week, which is the News of the World. And it's up to Simon and Rebecca to work out which of them is a farcical. So three are articles, one's a farcical, and they've got to tell which is which. And you can play along as well at home if you want to. Otherwise, don't.
But if you do, you should charge for that if they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Send us money if you play.
It's on the, you know, what's that thing called? Honor system. But, you know.
I like that you didn't know what it was called.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes, totally.
Claws a stink.
Is that about Santa?
A smelly Santa.
Or is it about a kitten who sat in the corner in its own mess?
I prefer to pretend that it's about a smelly Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think so too.
No, it's about bank charges.
Right, bank okay.
What's the title? Claws a stink.
Claws a stink.
Oh, claws, as in like claws. A sanity clause.
Yeah. Not like Tiger Claws or Santa Claus. Okay. 8 out of 8. Now they're keen to rap in Jap.
Well, that's racist.
I know.
It is the News of the World. Is this about people rapping in Japanese?
They're keen and they might rap in Jap.
They're keen?
Keen is the name of the band and is also keen. So it's a play on the word keen. And rapid Jap is just racist.
The Keene, the New Hampshire band? They're American. They're totally American. They're from Keene, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Where I have several friends. Hi, Kitty.
Hi, Kitty. Does she shit in corners?
I'll ask her.
Okay. What have we got? Carrying a congealed weapon.
Oh, that's about hitting someone with a jello mold.
It's close. It's a woman who was arrested at the airport because in her bag she was taking those Roundtree jello things and they confused them for Semtex.
I believe that.
And finally, beating the Wii session. It's Super Mario.
I just played that for the first time at my friend Tracy's house. I kicked butt.
Cool.
I was a little mushroom thing and I got high on myself. Awesome.
Did you get squished?
Many times. Oh, but it's fun because you can ride a dinosaur and eat your friends. Not in a sexy way.
I just want to do that now. In a sexy way.
Right, now concentrate. Concentrate.
I don't think you made any of those up.
Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Yeah.
Which one is real? So we got Claws of Stink, 8 out of 8, Carrying a Congealed, or Beating the Wii Session.
I don't think you made any of them up.
Yeah, they all sound very plausible, don't they?
The Stinky Claws one, then.
Claws of Stink?
Yeah.
Bank charge, is that what you're going for?
You sound too excited, so that's obviously wrong. I've said it now, so. Claws of Stink.
I think if you were going to name something Claws of Stink, you would have gone with a smelly Santa Claus who was wearing the outfit one too many times in a row after a kid peed on it, and now he's being sued by parents because their kids had to sit in other kids' urine. That's totally what you would have made up. So I don't think that that's the made up one. What was the headline of the keen thing? The Jap.
8 out of 8. Now they're keen to rap in Jap.
Now they're keen to rap in Jap. You are a racist, so I can see you making that up.
Yeah, but would I do it so obviously? That's the question.
I think you would, actually. but I'm going to go with the Mario one, because that's just kind of like bleh. And I think that you made up something that you thought sounded plausible.
What, the Wii session?
Yes.
Can't believe you don't have faith in me, Rebecca. Right, okay. We'll take it in kind of reverse, but not completely reverse. I'm going to go 8 out of 8. Now they're keen to rap in Jap. I'm not a racist. That is real.
I think you are a racist and it is real. So
yeah.
You can have both.
Right, okay. Next one we've got is Claws a Stink. So you said that was a farcical, Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And you were wrong.
Of course I was.
Hey.
I was right. You totally would have gone with the pee on
I
Santa.
I so would have gone with that, yeah. Or I'd have gone with like Santa ripping open with claws. A big bag of dog poo. And then, so it's between beating the Wii session and carrying a congealed weapon.
Mm.
And Rebecca, I'm sad to say, you got it wrong. Beating the Wii session is in this week's News of World, whereas carrying a congealed weapon came straight out of my arse.
That's disgusting, a congealed weapon coming out of your ass.
It would be, though. It would be.
Best way to smuggle weapons, though. Put them in a condom and swallow them.
I just think putting them in jelly would be quite, you know.
So is there anything you'd like to plug or
Well, that's a good question. My website, skeptchick.org, and we have a podcast that we update infrequently with random bits of weirdness. And coming up, we're going to, in about 2 weeks, we're going to be putting out our Christmas special, which was quite popular last year.
The same one?
Same exact one. but, you know, it's me dubbed over saying, it's 2009. Now
Christmas 2009 like that.
Right, no one will be the wiser. And then there's my other podcast, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, at theskepticsguide.org, which you can also find on iTunes
and on Facebook and on Twitter and everything.
Izzy, say thank you very much to Rebecca.
No,
say it.
No.
Okay,
I'm gonna pout.
Rebecca Watson's for sale. Stick stamps all over her face.
Oh, so Pouty Rebecca as well as Pouty Izzy.
Yeah, yes. We're a box set. We're a box set.
They had to pack you in because otherwise you wouldn't sell individually. So.
How true is that?
Burn, Izzy. Burn.
Thank you very much for joining us, Rebecca. It was fantastic.
Thank
and
you,
hopefully we'll
Simon.
See you again soon.
And see you guys soon.
Thanks, Rebecca. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.